Philippians chapter number 2. And I know that the last time we were together in this chapter, 2 weeks ago, we kind of, I guess some might say we deviated. I don't think we deviated. I think God just used Deuteronomy chapter 32 to illuminate that the fact that what's going on in this generation has been going on in every generation. I don't know if you've watched the news much, but up in Baltimore they rioted and they burned stores. I mean, I told somebody it really makes a lot of sense for me to get mad at you and go burn my own house down. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, don't it? Go burn the drugstore down where my mama and papa get their medicine. I mean, it just, silly. I did like one thing about it. I liked when that mama got that boy by that black hood and went to boxing his jaws. Amen. I said, glory to God, there's one mama in Baltimore anyway. The only difference had been my mama, she'd have had a switch. And I'm telling you what's the truth, she'd have been wrapping them things around my ears, amen, on the way to the house, amen. But tonight, we're going to go back and look at some of these scriptures. And the last time I was over there in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Brother Ralph said, preacher, you quit too quick. He said you needed to go on just another verse or two there. And I said, well, Brother Ralph, we intend to. We're going through the chapter, amen. And he was getting ahead of me, got all excited back there, amen. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Reminds me, Brother Ralph, of preaching in prison. That guy sitting on the bench in the prison, I was preaching my guts out, and he was hollering, come on! Come on! He'd say, come on! I finally stopped right in the middle of the message. I said, dear Lord, son, I'm coming. I'm trying, amen. I'll be there directly, amen. Come on. Wherefore, my beloved, verse 12, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Paul said, work out your salvation, your own salvation, with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want the Holy Spirit of God to be grieved in a home, just start murmuring and disputing. If you want the Holy Spirit of God to be grieved in a church, just start murmuring and disputing, amen. It grieves him so. The Bible said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's pray just a moment. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for your word. May the word of God speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Help us, we do pray. Help us to be a little closer to you when we leave than when we came. A little more like you, Lord. Help us, our Father, to be a little more sensitive to our brothers and sisters' needs. And Father, we pray you'll help us in our visitation on Saturday. I pray, God, that we could meet someone, Lord, that we could be a blessing to. And Lord, many of our own people need someone to be a blessing to them. Lord, we do pray that you'll bless. Help us now tonight in the Word of God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I have a very special unspoken request tonight, too, that just came to my mind. A dear sister that I love dearly, and I want us to pray for her. God knows the need. All right, here we go tonight in verse number 15. He said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. And he talked about being without rebuke in the middle, right in the middle of a crooked and a perverse nation. He said, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We're going to go back over to Deuteronomy, if you'll turn back over there with me. And we're looking at the fact that really things, as far as sin goes, as far as the world goes, as far as the ways of man and rebellion goes, they really haven't changed a whole lot. Some of it has come out, and it is the love of many, because the love of many has waxed cold. It is getting worse and worse. But we know that God wants us to see something here in Deuteronomy that I believe will be a help and be a blessing to us. My wife was telling me this, that some ministers in America, preachers, I guess, are giving up their ordination papers. And what they're doing that for, they're saying, well, if they're going to tell us that we have to marry same-sex marriage, if they're going to tell us we have to do that, we'll just give up our ordination papers and we won't marry anybody. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you where I stand. I'm still going to marry a young man that falls in love with a young woman. Say amen. I'm not giving it up. Say amen. I think that's a cheesy way out, just to be honest with you. Amen. What's right's right, and what's wrong's wrong. And just because some wants to do wrong don't mean we shouldn't continue to do right in the eyes of God. And marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. Amen. But the Bible said whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And I believe with all my heart tonight that it may come to that. I don't know what's come of that decision. I listened on Tuesday to some of the judges. If you know, I'd be interested to know after church. I like what one of the judges said. He said they're not trying to break into marriage. He said they're trying to redefine it. Glory to God. God told us what marriage is. Amen. It doesn't need to be redefined. Here in Deuteronomy, the Bible said, you say, well, preacher, I don't understand how you could even be teaching the Bible and get off on that. Well, just look at the first couple verses here. It said, for they are a nation void. I'm looking at verse 28 in chapter 32. They're a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. If you'll turn to Proverbs, I think maybe I can quote it. I hope I can. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe what's happened in a nation that's void of counsel, they've turned their back on the counsel that is the word of the living God. We need to know tonight that the church is not the final authority, and the pastor is not the final authority, and the pope is not the final authority. None of the cults are the final authority, but the word of the living God is the final authority. And that's the council. He said, they're a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. I look at the word counsel and I always get tickled at myself. Because when I was in high school, I would walk by a door in the hallway that said guidance counselor. And I hope we don't have any guidance counselors in here, because I'm telling you what I thought they were. I thought they were somebody to help crazy youngins. Amen. I didn't understand that maybe they were trying to help them get the courses together and the direction in life that they wanted to go. I just thought, I'm not going in there. I got enough sense to stay out of there. Amen. Amen. The Bible said, him that's ignorant, let him be ignorant still. I was ignorant. Amen. I didn't know what was going on behind that door. But we need counsel as a nation. For they, as a nation, were void of counsel. Neither was there any understanding in them. And then the Bible said in verse 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they might consider, that they would consider their latter end. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it looks to me like that it wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have to have a situation get as bad as it did in Baltimore and then react to it. It looks like you could have made a little bit of preparation ahead of time. Amen. But the Word of God says here that they're not considering the latter end. And I believe when you, stand and make statements like, well, we're going to give them their space to destroy. Amen. They're not considering the latter end. Amen. That's a green light to some. But the Word of God said here, they would, oh, that they would be wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. How many knows where America's headed? It's headed to a dead end. It's headed to a dark end. And the debt now is over $18 trillion. The Middle East is in a mess. Amen. And our stand with Israel is shaky. I don't care what anybody says. It's shaky at best. Amen. And we need to consider the latter end. Now look at verse 30. He said, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Now look at verse 31. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. The best I can figure and decipher this, that text right there, it's saying that even the unsaved, even the enemy knows that there's something different about our rock than their rock. Amen? Even they know. When they judge that among themselves, they know there's a difference. I was thinking about some scriptures and looked up some things that I believe will be a blessing to you. But I want to give them to you here in just a minute. I'll start on some things here. But look at verse number 32 and think about our nation. It said, for their vine is the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asp. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Then God said, to me belong with vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide. Now notice his word, in due time. You say, preacher, what are we living on today? I'll tell you what we're living on. We're living on grace and we're living on borrowed time. In due time, the payment will be made for going away from the counsel of God and going in our own way as a country. The Bible said, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted? I tell you what I believe. I believe we've put our trust in gold. We put our trust in silver. We put our trust in the stock market. I'm talking about as a nation. Amen. Surely you're not guilty of that. Amen. If you've got stocks in the stock market, I'm glad for you. That's not what I'm trying to say. Amen. What I'm trying to say, surely your trust is not there. Surely your trust, doesn't matter what's laying down at the bank, is not there. Surely your trust, no matter how many deeds you've got, is not in those deeds. Amen. Our trust is to be in the Lord. Now think about these verses that I'm going to read to you tonight and the blessing that they are. When the Bible said their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. The Bible said, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. I got to thinking about as we prayed tonight, I just tried to be still tonight while people were praying, and just be still. Sometimes that's what God wants us to do, is just be still and know that He is God and that He can handle it. But that song that we're going to sing, did you find it, Miss Shelby? It's not in there. Oh, my goodness, that means I'll have to sing it by myself. There went my crowd. Amen. Did you find it, Brother Chris? What? She found it? What'd you wave at me for just now? What now? A shelter in the storm. It's in there. It's not. Miss Shelby says it's not. Somebody else says it is. I say let's roll all the pews back and get some boxing gloves and get down to this business right here. Amen. Amen. Shelter in the time of storm. Somebody tell me what she said. 337. Okay. Just pretend like you're mad at Brother Rick, Sister Denise, and holler at me. Amen. Amen. See, I heard that. Amen. We'll sing that after a while, but Jesus is the rock in a weary land. How many believes we're living in a weary land? Amen. A shelter in the time of storm. So the Bible said, there's none holy as the Lord. There's none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. You remember in the wilderness, the Bible tells us in Corinthians, that rock followed them. And who was that rock? That rock was, hallelujah, is and will forever be Christ. Amen. There's water in that rock. He is the rock in a weary land. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 2 said, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Bible said in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 32, for who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? I believe that's a firm foundation, don't you? J. Vernon McGee, I used to listen to him on the radio a lot. And Brother McGee's program came on with How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord. Hallelujah, that foundation's as firm tonight as it ever has been. Because Jesus is that rock in this weary land. The Bible said in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 47, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. I like that. It's personal. It's possessive. And exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Psalm 18 and 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, than a horn of my salvation, and my high tower. When the Bible uses that word there, my strength, in that verse, the Lord is my rock. And he says, my God, my strength. If you look in the Hebrew, that my strength means my rock. Amen. He is our rock tonight. For who is a God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? Psalm 18:31. This goes over and over, and I'm not going to bore you with it. I'm going to read a few of them. Psalm 18 and 46, the Lord liveth. I just thought about something, Brother Brian. That Sunday school lesson blessed me so good. He is. Amen. He didn't used to be the rock. He's not going to be the rock, but thank God tonight he is the rock. Thank God over there where Sister Teresa and Brother Sam live tonight, he is the rock. Amen. He's not one in the past, not one in the future, but he's right there tonight. Amen. For them, and blessed be his name tonight. The Bible said, for their rock is not as our rock, even as our enemies themselves being judges. The Bible said in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. When you see that my strength right there in the Hebrew, it means rock and my redeemer. Bless his name tonight. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. Psalm 18:46. Psalm 28 and verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Thank God we can cry out to our rock. We can fall on our rock tonight. Amen. Psalm 92 and 15, he said, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Psalm 94 and 22, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Oh, I thank God, don't you, when Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. He said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. Amen. And I'll cover thee there with my hand. You'll be able to see my hinder parts. But thank God the Lord passed by. And I tell you, that rock is still passing by for those that are looking to him today. The Bible said here, 94:22, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. That word refuge is talking about a hiding place, a place where you can get in out of the storm. Psalm 95 and 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I tell you, I thank God over there. You say, preacher, I don't know what this got to do with Philippians. I tell you what it's got to do with Philippians. If there's any hope of us walking straight in the midst of a wicked and a perverse nation, a crooked and a perverse nation, we're going to have some help from the rock of our salvation. Amen. We're going to have to draw nigh to him. And he said he would draw nigh to us. Amen. I tell you what, I've been some days in my Christian experience when I've been mighty discouraged, when I've been mighty defeated, when I've been mighty depressed. But I'll tell you what every one of those days has in common. There was a distance between me and the rock. Say amen right there. I tell you, you can't walk with the rock. Amen. And lean on the rock and kneel on the rock and fall on the rock and know that he's the rock in a weary land. And not, my friend, be blessed. Be blessed and walk with him. The Bible said in Psalm 144 and verse 1, a psalm of David, it says, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war. That word strength there again means rock. Blessed be the rock. Enter, the Bible said in Isaiah 2 and verse 10, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. I tell you, that's getting close there when you enter into the rock, is it not? Trust ye in the Lord. Isaiah 26, 4, forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And when you look in the Hebrew, that everlasting, it talks about the rock of ages. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the rock tonight. Amen. He was the rock for the children of Israel, and he'll be the rock for us. And Brother Chris, when little Lillian grows up, it might be upside down, but he'll be a rock for her too. Because he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. Oh, glory to God tonight. Any hope of walking straight in a crooked place, it's found, my friend, in the rock. I believe that if we go on down through this chapter here, I believe there's some secrets here in the life of Moses. My friend, he's walking with the Lord, and the Lord is certainly walking with him. The Bible said here, let's pick it up here in verse 38. They did eat the fat of their sacrifices, and they drank the wine of their drink offerings. He said, let them rise up. Let's see, I've lost my place here. Wait just a minute. Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. God's saying, you leaned on that rock. It's not really a rock. You leaned on that rock. It's just a little G-O-D. Let them help you now. Amen. I believe that day's coming in this country if we don't turn from our wickedness. The Bible said, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and I say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I'm going to say this tonight. There's a lot of people in America, they're hiding out under a lot of things. They can hide out under civil liberty. Save men right there. But I'm going to tell you what they are. They're God haters. They hate the God of the Bible. They hate the truth. They hate the light. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The Bible said it was going on right here in Moses' day as well. He said, I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh. And that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people. He and Hosea, that's Joshua, the son of Nun. Verse 45, and Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. I want to read the rest of this quickly. We'll go back to Philippians 2. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day. He said, preacher, how in the world are we going to make it? We need to set our hearts to all of the words. Amen. If we'll set our hearts to the word of God, amen, then we can make it. We can keep on going. We can have an impact in this generation. I was thinking a while ago when Brother Brian was requesting prayer for the breakfast, maybe we can meet two more ladies that's met John the Baptist. Amen. On Saturday morning. Amen. You'll get that after a while. But anyway, that'd be a blessing. Amen. The Bible said here, which you shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. By the way, right there's a lesson. Amen. That police chief in Baltimore said we need more mothers like that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully, especially in our major cities. And I'm not just talking about a race of people. It is predominant in one race. But my friend, the fathers are missing. Amen. I used to preach to those men in prison. I preached hard. I told them anybody can lay down the woman, get her pregnant. It takes a real man to stand up and be a dad and be a father. Amen to the youngins. Amen. That's what I believe. And that's what Moses is saying. He's saying, hey, don't you just settle in with the rock, but you be sure and teach your children about the rock. You be sure and command your children to observe this word that I've given you. He said in verse 47, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. Let me just say this tonight. I'm saying this to me. I'm saying it to you. It's the truth tonight. Anybody that believes that sin does not have a consequence needs to read about Moses right here. God told Moses the first time to smite the rock. He told him a second time to smite the rock. I'm sorry. He told him to speak to the rock. And Moses smote the rock. That rock was a type of Christ. Christ was only be smitten once. He's never to be smitten again. Amen. Smitten of God, the Bible said. Wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. And afflicted for you and for me. Moses said, hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of the rock? I'll just say this tonight. Moses was speaking to a group of people as if they were rebels. And he was rebelling himself. He was not doing. And that's going to cost him. Look at it here with me. Please look at it with me. The Bible said, over against Jericho, and behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And he said, you're going to die in the mount, in verse 50, whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because? Why is it? Why is it, Moses? You're going to get to look over there, but you're not going to get to go over there. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah, a Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto thy land, unto the land which I give the children of Israel. God said, Moses, you're not going. You can look over yonder, but I'm going to send Joshua. Joshua's going to lead the people of God over that way. You say, preacher, I don't understand why you wanted to read the rest of the chapter. Let me tell you something. That ought to motivate us. Listen to me carefully. That ought to motivate us. What did the book of Philippians say? Turn over there with me again. The Bible said here, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, right in the middle, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That ought to motivate us. My friend, listen. If everybody, that's one thing our children need to know. If everybody in that classroom's doing wrong, that don't mean you have to do wrong. That don't mean you have to go that way. I don't know if it was my mom. I think she's the one that started on me. And she started a lot of things on me. But I would say, you know, as a young teenager, I'd say, but Mom, And I would name Joe, or I would name Mike, or I would name Hector. And the mom would look at me and say, if Hector goes down there and jumps off that bridge in that shallow water, are you going to go down there and jump off that bridge in that shallow water? Well, it didn't seem so enticing when you think about it like that. Amen. All I wanted to do was be as cool as my friends were. But some of the things that they were doing that I considered as a young person to be cool would have destroyed me. There's stuff out there in this world today, all you got to do is take it one time and you'll be hooked on it. Amen. And our young people need to understand, our moms, our dads, papaws and mamaws, we can, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, we can still shine as lights. We can still knock holes in the darkness. Amen. We can still make a difference. As our brother stood here last Wednesday night and preached, we can still make a difference in this generation that we live in. I pray that we will, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst, right in the middle. I do believe that, listen to me carefully, that America has been a great nation, and in many ways is still a great nation. But I believe our greatness is slipping away. I believe it's slipping swiftly, slipping away. And I believe one of the reasons is, instead of us as God's people having an influence on them, they're having an influence on us. The issues, one after another, just seem to come and go, just come and go, come and fade away. But I tell you, if it ever was an issue with God, it's still an issue with God. Men and women can shack up and call it living together, but it's sin. We can take the lives of the unborn and call it choice, but it's sin. You can say, well, I'll go down here and, you know, I'm going to just go in the social life and drink. But it's sin. If God said not to even look on it when it moves itself aright, surely you ain't got no business tipping it up. Amen. Tonight, God wants us to know it's not a whole lot different than it was in Moses' day. And in Moses' day, God's people were not in the majority. And in our day, God's people are not in the majority. Not as far as the number of men goes. But if we could ever understand when David marched down there in that valley, one young man plus God made a majority. And it made a believer out of a giant, didn't it? Amen. Jesus is the rock in a weary land.